Saying that when you came in, Magnus, I came to see you do a reading for Free to See the King, your third book in Leeds, and Em will do the same questions about your previous employment. I just wondered if you kind of want to say a bit about your kind of experience of doing readings and the sort of stuff that gets thrown at you.
Well, since this book's come out, most of the questions are about buses, and people want to know why buses do this and that. And I've also, for the last about 10 years, about every 6 months, I get approached by a newspaper asking me to write an article about why buses do this or that, or why bus drivers do this. So I had it all boiling up, and I decided to write it into a novella. But as you say, people keep asking me these questions. They aren't even this very brief, but they're reading so.
Sort of another thing that struck me with the book, your kind of previous three, I think, have been in fairly kind of abstract landscapes where it's difficult to really know where you are. But this is, even though you changed the name of the thing, it's quite recognisably London. Was that kind of a deliberate ploy, or was it just connected with the buses?
Well, this is the second book I've written about the buses. The first one was rejected by my agent because I tried to be too accurate. So I decided now I've become more experienced as a writer, I realised I could just do it in a more abstract way and just do it how I wanted and just invent, use landmarks in the capital city of a certain country with red buses without actually referring to anything apart from my nicknames used by drivers. Like, most drivers refer to Oxford Circus as the circus and things like that. So, and most of it's true. Some of the type of the bit at the beginning is true, and the guy says it's no excuse for being early. That's quite a common phrase in bus parlance.
Right, do you have any questions from the audience? No, one at the back.
Obviously there's a huge amount of material, rich source of material in this job. How did you go about selecting what you were going to find you put in the book?
I decided to concentrate on this, the thing about the running time. Because there's so many things I could have done about. Obviously I could have done something about confrontations with passengers and all that sort of stuff, but it's a bit boring. So I decided to leave the passengers out of it altogether, so there's no mention whatsoever of passengers. It could also have done the... There's another line of inquiry, which is the problems drivers have with revenue officials. That's another completely different... I decided to just stick to the timekeeping side of it.
And did that lend itself particularly to a novel?
Well, apparently. I just had the idea. I wasn't sure whether I was resisted doing it for a long time, but in the end I decided that I had to do it. Also, my wife, I'm quite often telling my wife things, and she's like, you just put it in the book.
Any more questions?
What do your colleagues?
As far as I know, one of my colleagues has read it. Nobody in Transport for London has read it, believe it or not. Even I had a bit of publicity in August. It's quite relevant. There's a lot of very relevant stuff in it. That the Transport for London just aren't interested in anything in their staff. They're just only interested in their network. Like, the drivers aren't allowed to have opinions. As for my staff, my friends in the garage, most of them just think I'm a failed writer. Because why would I be working on a driving bus? But they're very... I've got a certain separateness. Because of it. They all know about the books. Not many of them actually read them. Some of them have bought them and just put it on the shelf. There's only one person, as far as I know, has actually read it.
Any more questions?
Hi.
Yep.
presumably, as you're doing a day job driving along, you get these ideas, and then you just stop the bus and scribble them down.
Yeah, well, I don't need to, because I do this so much that it's not impregnated into me. I mean, I've been driving a bus 20 years now, so I don't really need to write these down. But when I was writing my first book, I used to have to, I'd just write one liner down when I was at a bus stop or traffic light, and then I'd put it away in my pocket, and when I get home, I'd read it, and once I've written it down, an idea, I can just forget it. So yeah, you're right, you do have to write these things down. It's important.
I've had another question about kind of influences, really, and kind of if you look at what people have written about you, you get all sorts of comparisons. I think you must be about the only writer who's been compared to P.T. Woodhouse and Albert Camus. And I wonder if you want to say a bit about kind of what's inspired you in terms of literature.
Well, I'm like that actually. I've read one camera. I've worked my way through like the classics by reading one camera, what, three George Orwell, but you know, everything rubs off. And also, even script writers from their films and TV sometimes, if they're high enough quality, like for example, Hal Pinter and the guys who used to write the Tony Hancock sketches. My biggest influence, believe it or not, is Aesop. If you read Aesop's fables, every story ever thought of is in there somewhere. I mean, the last book, Explores the New Century, is based on Aesop's fable. This one isn't, because it didn't have buses in Aesop.
Do we have any other questions? Can we take a break? Okay. Well, one at the back.
Did you try and put a mantle glass when you wrote Restraint of Beasts? Because it just seems to me that's a very sort of rural novel that's not really anything to do with what you were doing from day job. Did it take you a while to come back to writing about what you actually do?
Yeah, that's correct. I'd only been in London a couple of years when I started work on that. It was all fresh in my head, because I used to work in Scotland as a fencing. I put this bus off for a long time before I decided to write it. Yeah. The reason is, the restraint of reason, I've rather a dark sort of feel, because I was driving the 109 at that time, such a slog. Trafalgar Square to Croydon. I think it got to me a bit. But I'm quite into bus driving at the moment. I don't think see it as a dark force. I think.
Okay, I think unless there are any other questions, we'll have a quick break. Magnus's book is down here. We're selling it at the bargain price of £7.50, which is reduced from £10. You may even be coerced into signing some. We also have some of Matthew's books on sale for £5, and there are also drinks at the bar, and James will be coming around with the enormous tin, which will hopefully
and
be...
And menaces.
So, okay, we'll take a quick 5-10 minute break. Thank you very much.